2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Thursday out there to everybody. This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not a member over here, make sure you get in. Use the promo code PODCAST to get you 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $16 a month. You really can't beat that for all the different things you get. 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players. Boomers Ballers cheat sheet, updated projections, and the Domination Station doing it every day, folks. Once again, that's DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get yourself in with us for cheap. Now, on today's show, we've only got a five-game slate. So typically when we got a little short slate like this, we can go off on a little rant. And boy, do we have enough to talk about. By the way, I'm the host, Al Walsh, on this shindig. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And joining me, as always, Keith Hall, Boomers DFS Daddy on Twitter, if you need to find him there. So I guess part one of today's rant deals with you directly, Keith. The big news out there, the Cleveland Cavaliers' big three, probably going to be sitting tonight. As an OKC fan, do you want to see – your guys up against the best, or are you just happy you're pretty much going to get a win tonight?
This is a two-part thing for me. One,
so I, two, part one, gotcha.
Yeah, one, I want to thank Tyronn Lue, LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving for allowing us to kind of still work on some things with our newer rotation that we are working out, because we still have not worked out a lot of the kinks with Enes Kanter out of the rotation. So thank you very much for the win, and we will gladly take that. That is part one. Part two. Is, yes, I want to see the Cleveland Cavaliers Big Three play. I would love to. I was actually at this game last year. It was a Sunday afternoon game. It was a primetime game. Me and my wife were there. We had a blast as far as the game was concerned. It did not turn out with the result that we wanted to, but it was still a blast. I want to see us play, you know, Cleveland at its best. And now I'm sitting here going, well, damn, they never would have rested the big three before. What the hell has changed? And then it just takes me, it all comes in full circle. We can just all, everything that, we can just blame Kevin Durant.
Okay.
So the second thing is, you know, now as an Oklahoma City fan, you know, we're not a bad team. We are not a great team, but we are definitely not a bad team. The bad part is now it, you know, we're seven games over 500. We're three games out of the sixth spot for the in the West. I firmly believe that we will be in around the five or six spot by the end of the year.
Right.
I think that we can overcome Memphis, but the Clippers are reeling without Chris Paul. They are just absolute, they're a shit show right now. We saw that again last night. The problem with this is that, look, you guys come here once a year. Once a year. Okay. It's not a long trip, but you know, it's not a long trip. But you guys come here once a year. At least throw two of the three out.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to sit Kyrie because he has a problem with bed bugs in our hotels, and because the hotel is haunted, then fine, throw it out. But when did Chris Bassard go to freaking FS1?
Oh, he's been there, man. He's been there.
Wow, that's crazy.
But yeah, I kind of have the same take as you do. I feel like you don't have to sit all three of them, especially. I mean, you know, you're not trying to just cough up these games, but again, the Cavs can, I guess. You know, it's just a byproduct of what else is in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, just coughing up a game like this really doesn't matter.
Why not sit them against Brooklyn or Philly? You roll all three out.
I totally get it.
You roll all three out. You know, part of this is, you know, granted, the Eastern Conference is kind of all conjoined there in the Northeast. Like, I get it. A lot of the Eastern Conference, they don't have to travel as far as the Western Conference teams. Okay, we're more spread out. You know, we've got, you know, you go from Oklahoma City to Denver to Dallas to San Antonio. You know, we're spread out a lot more as far as travel mileage. I get that, okay? But, I mean, you roll all three out for the Philly game and the Brooklyn game and the Knicks in Madison Square Garden, and yet you're going to sit your only time going to the Thunder? This is the only time? You know, there are probably families, because, you know, we get Russell Westbrook, okay?
Yep.
And one of the main reasons why we went to the Cleveland game last year over the Golden State game, which was, you know, around this, it was like a week later or a week and a half later last year, was because we could get better seats right behind one of the baskets for probably a third of the cost and still go see, you know, what ended up being the NBA champions last year. You know, there are families, and that's the truth. The tickets now for the Golden State game on Saturday, and granted, now there's a little bit more narrative this year than there was last year, but the tickets now for this game on Saturday are, I could, in fact, there is a chance that I could just say screw it and drop my son off over at my mother-in-law's tonight and just drive down to Oklahoma City and walk up and buy a ticket for $25 tonight. Like that's how much the price of the value of these tickets dropped. So
yeah, definitely. No, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a huge factor in everything, you know, when the Cavs do this. I mean, they're not the same cost as what Golden State does, but they, you know, they're still significant. You know, like if you wanted to go see the Charlotte Hornets per se, you're going to get face value seats all over the joint. But for Cleveland, I think they probably go up close to, I don't know, well, let's just say for argument's sake, they go up three times the price of a regular ticket. And then for Golden State, they go up four times the price of a regular ticket. I was trying to look for tickets because Golden State plays at Madison Square Garden on a Sunday afternoon in March this year. And I went to go check out the tickets. The last row in the garden is available for $195 a pop. That's insane. That's not supposed to happen. But yeah, making no mistake about it, Cleveland, the prices get elevated. So when they go ahead and do this, it's just shitty because, you know, now you paid all this extra money to watch Cleveland's B team. And, you know, I think me and you, and a lot of other, you know, hardcore basketball fans out there, I think in years going forward, you're going to have to, when you go get your tickets, you're going to have to like, look, when is Cleveland playing? Like, is this going to be the back end of a back-to-back for him? Like, you kind of have to take that into consideration. But, I mean, the average everyday fan, you know, the little kid who's like 12 years old who says, "Daddy, Daddy, I want to go see the Cavs," they have no clue what, you know, what kind of schedule the Cavs are on. So it's just a shitty thing. But this is what Cleveland's been doing all year. I mean, they sat him against Memphis. Now they're doing this again against OKC. When they went to Golden State this year, they showed up physically, but, you know, they pretty much just mailed it in. So this is the way that they're going about it. But, you know, a lot of this has to do with all the pressure that LeBron has on him to win championships. And, you know, I understand that a meaningless game in, you know, February or January, whatever it is, might not, you know, look like it affects it, but they're just trying to keep him rested for all that time. So, you know, you can blame all sorts of different things of how this goes. Cleveland's just taking advantage of what they do. I have a feeling, though, I have the way to combat this in years going forward. Would you like to hear it?
Well, let me before you say that, let me give you an idea, okay? I just went to StubHub, okay? And it's a shameless plug. They don't pay us, so I don't get money. But,
oh, God, no.
You know, I can get section 106, okay, which is the lower bowl, six rows behind the sideline for $150 for tonight's game. That same game, that same seat for the Golden State Warriors game this weekend, $1,600.
Dear Lord.
So
that's a lot for Oklahoma City. Like, that's typically, you know, what you see around here. I mean, you know, it's just things are so much more expensive here, like in New York, New Jersey area. But yeah, $1,600 for OKC is wow.
Yeah, it's good luck today, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I just, you know, as a basketball fan, I mean, I get it. I understand. I'm not naive. I know that there's a bigger purpose. I know that Oklahoma City's not, you know, a Golden State matchup or San Antonio Spurs or even, hell, a Houston Rockets anymore. Okay. But, and like I said, we can all blame Kevin Durant. I mean, especially after his oh, woe is me interview with ESPN last night. Which will be the second part to my rant here in just a moment. But I get it, okay? But I also – you also have to sit there and look at it and go like, okay, like there's worse teams to sit your guys against. Like this is not just a – this is not just a like a random Friday night game where there's 12 games on the slate. This is the TNT game, ladies and gents. And you're gonna tune into TNT tonight – granted, you will get to see Russell Westbrook because Billy Donovan would have his throat slit if he suggested that Russ sit out. Plus, the Thunder really can't afford it. I mean, we're trying to avoid, you know, San Antonio in the first round. So you're sitting there going, we need every game that we possibly can. We haven't played that well lately. We're kind of struggling a little bit without Enes Kanter. The big floppy is a dummy. So, but we've got guys that, you know, need to get court time, and we need wins at the same time. So, in that aspect, you know, I like it. But you also have the fan side of things where I'm like, all right, you know, families probably bought tickets for their kids to go see the Cleveland Cavaliers because it was cheaper than Golden State, and you could go see LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love. Now you're going to tune in and see Jordan McRae, DeAndre Liggins, James Jones, Channing Frye, and whatever else type of shit show that they decide to run out there. Good luck. And I feel sorry. And you know what? I don't blame you if you try to go scalp your tickets and get what you can back. To be honest, I don't blame you. I mean, I don't think that, you know, we get a lot of people from Texas and everywhere else. I don't know of a lot of Okies that listen to our show. But I do know that, you know, we have a couple Thunder fans, and I don't know. It's not what the NBA is supposed to be. Like, and you know, Adam Silver, this is a message to you. If you want to fix this, okay, more so than what you possibly can. If you want to fix this, you limit the back-to-backs. Cut the season down to 75 games and limit the back-to-backs. Okay? It's that simple. Yeah. Don't have a team playing 3 and 4 nights. Don't have a team... 4 and 5 nights should be outrageous. Don't have a team playing 4 and 7 days. You know, don't overextend these guys. You're going to get – that's going to help you in twofold. One, you're going to get better basketball. Two, you're not going to have your stars sitting in random cities, Memphis, Oklahoma City. You know, and three, it's going to make it so much better. Keep the season the same length as far as the calendar days. Just cut a couple games out. You know, there's no need to play a team 4 times in a year.
No, definitely. Well, I know next year they're starting, I believe, 2 weeks earlier, which should combat some of the back-to-backs. But, yeah, I mean, look, you got to think, too, the NHL, these guys, their all-star break lasts, I believe, the weekend and then that Monday, and then they're right back to it that Tuesday. Well, the NBA, they have, you know, essentially an entire week, so maybe you can trim that down a little bit.
Yeah, but right now, there's all sorts of different
things you could do.
Do you realize that we are Oklahoma City has played 53 games. There are 82 games left or 82 games in a season. Wouldn't you think that the All-Star break should be kind of closer to the halfway point?
Yeah, sure.
We still have 5 more games before we even get to the All-Star break.
Yep. Well, you know, for the Nets, it's more or less just a painful end to the season. But here's my thing real quick before, like, I think there's 2 things that they could do. Number one, if you're going to rest some people, I believe that they should have to do something for the fans. So if you're going to rest, you still have to go to the game, but you have to hold like a 30-minute autograph session or something like that. I think that would probably force some people to, you know, change their mind on a couple things. And, you know, again, if those players don't play, at least the fans who paid all that money get something for going there. Number two, which I think would be a very interesting move, but highly unlikely. Now sometimes you're not even going to get 2 of these interconference games where the East is going to play the West. You know, sometimes they only play each other one time, but you make that, you know, sort of a head-to-head thing for the finals. I mean, I see what Cleveland's doing. They're not giving themselves they're not giving the other teams any sort of film on them against, you know, the better teams and what they do. So, and it sucks because Cleveland's really the only team that does this. I guess the Spurs from time to time. But you kind of take the season series and whoever wins that gets the, you know, the home court advantage for the finals. Like, it's highly unlikely, but if they do play 2 times, then you could go to like the soccer aggregate system. You know, if a team sweeps, obviously they get the, you know, the home court in the finals, but, you know, you could, you know, point margin of victory, something along those lines, but they got to do something because it's not right what they're doing.
Let's just do it simple. Okay. Let's go record versus conference. Overall record versus conference gets home court advantage in the NBA finals. You know, forget this. You know, I hated what MLB did with, you know, this time it counts with the All-Star game. You know, and we'll get to, you know, that thankfully, thank God, is no longer, you know, a part of a part of the All-Star game, but, you know, I hated it because now you're taking an honor and an exhibition. Yes, we want it to be competitive, but in that same aspect, too, I don't want my guys going out there and getting run over, and my team's season getting ruined because my All-Star this year just got ran over or got taken out at second base. So I don't want that happening.
Well, not only that, if you're a fan of a team that contends and you got some shitbag from, you know, the Marlins or whoever coming in, notice I didn't say Phillies. I don't want to diss my own team, but yeah, you got one of those guys. How about the Brewers? So let's go with them. You got some shitbag from the Brewers coming in and he, like, you know, he's not all into the game like that. You can't let that. Determine everything.
But like in baseball, if you go, okay, whichever you make sure that they have the same equal amount of times, they have the same equal amount of home games as far as interleague or even, you know, with the NBA interconference, matchups. And okay, so the West won, I'm throwing an arbitrary number out there, guys. I have no idea how many games they play against each other, but the West won 100 and the East won 95. The West now has home court advantage. You won't see Cleveland resting against Oklahoma City and Memphis anymore.
No, but here the one issue with that is that you have to make sure all these teams are playing each other an equal number of times in an equal amount of.
Well, they always do a home and home. Interconference is always a home and home.
Not always. There's been times where teams have only played one. That's what I was saying earlier, is that over the last couple of years, not everybody from the East has played everybody in the West twice. Like there's been a couple instances where they've only played once. It hasn't happened that often, but.
Well, that's an easy fix. You just cut out one of the, you know, divisional games where, like, here's something that pisses me off, okay? Last season against Golden State, we got one home game. We went to Oracle twice. This season against Golden State, we get one home game. We've already been to Oracle twice.
Yep.
You know, cut out one of those games.
All sorts of things you can do, but
you know, there's a lot of things. Okay. So here's my second rant. Okay. Kevin Durant, if you think that the media is playing up this little spat that you think is overblown between you and Russ, you are not a man. Dude, you could have prevented all of this. Own up, call Russ. You could have called Russ and let him know, and you could have stopped your little back-ended shots to the Oklahoma City Thunder organization, okay? You could have just shut your mouth, called Russ, and he's going to understand. Is he going to like it? No. But this little dog and pony show that you think that the media is playing up everything and making the rivalry between you and Russ a lot more than it actually is. No, they're not. Russ is pissed. And you should know that.
Don't want to make Russ.
Okay. I doubt he says five words to you during the All-Star game.
Oh, that'll be so interesting. Okay? So interesting.
In fact, I would probably go out there and say it's a pretty good bet. If there was a prop bet, that I would probably throw $100 down that Russell Westbrook never passes the ball to Kevin Durant. He does not like the way, forget the way that, you know, that you treated the Oklahoma City fan that thought, that basically looked at you like, you know, you were ours. Like, it's what he did in the community for Oklahoma is beyond comprehensible. Okay, he was there with both tornadoes down in Moore. He donated a ton of money. He has, you know, a couple charities that go through hospitals and stuff like that. Like, he was fantastic. You know, everything that you could want out of a a top five to or three to five player in the NBA, honestly, in a city. He was everything. I am not sliding him on that at all. The way he handled the situation about leaving was complete and utter trash. And he thinks that the media is the one that's playing this up. Bro, you're naive. Get out of town with that crap. You don't know what you're talking about. I understand you're only 26, 27 years old, and you haven't really experienced life yet, but get out of here with that crap, because it's not even close. He's not going to – he won't have a standing ovation.
Oh, he
will. Oh, let me rephrase this. He will. But that standing ovation is not going to be with an applause. There will be astounding boos. And this is something that Kevin Durant has never dealt with in his career. Not at Texas, not in Seattle, not in Oklahoma City. He has never been booed mercifully. Any time he touches the ball, that he checks in, that his name is said, he will be booed. How do I know? Because that's exactly what we did to Patrick Beverley when he came back after tearing up Russ's knee. And he thinks that that was bad? Uh-uh, bruh. Sorry. Like, it ain't even going to be close. Like, what you're going to get on Saturday night is five times worse than what Beverly ever got.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not even in the same stratosphere. But see, that wasn't even the second rant that I was gonna go. I guess I got a third one out with Charles Oakley getting the boot from the Knicks game last night. So apparently, what happened here, now this is according to Oakley himself here, basically said that, you know, all the security guards came up to him and said that they wanted him out of the arena. No apparent I haven't heard the Knicks side of things, but, you know, it was funny how they said they put out an official thing on Twitter basically saying that, you know, he was being disruptive and they hope he gets help.
For those of you that don't know, Charles Oakley has been very, very critical of James Dolan and the New York Knicks and the way they've run the organization over the last five years.
They haven't gotten along for a long time.
Well, yeah, but he's been overly critical since, for the last five, 7 years. It's really, really come out. And a lot of it might be the fact that, you know, now social media is going and it's stuff like that. But, it's just kind of one of those things, like, you're sitting there looking at it going, you know, dude, you have no influence over – if you want to help change it, try coaching them. Try helping them out. Don't just sit there and just rip on them. So there is some backlash to that. But evidently, like, he had to – for Charles Oakley to have to pay for a New York Knicks ticket – I think that's probably one of the things that's being lost in the shuffle, and that's just funny as hell to me.
But yeah, that's fine. I mean, you want him to go coach the team. Dolan won't even talk to him. Like, apparently Oakley's tried to reach out to him a bunch of times. Dolan keeps saying no. One of the better quotes I saw from last night, he says, what does he say? He goes, he's like, I wouldn't mind having a sit down dinner with Dolan. I wouldn't even mind cooking him dinner. So, you know, I think a lot of people around here know Oakley is being kind of he's a tough bastard, but he's also got a good sense of humor, personality and everything. So, they were certainly, I think they kind of went overboard with everything, trying to send all these different people over there. I have no idea, you know, if he did something at first or anything like that, but it was just an absolutely bizarre situation. But the one thing of how the Knicks are being run nowadays, just a final sentence of that, that tweet that they sent out last, where we hope he gets some help soon. Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I know here being – I listen to the sports radio here every day. You know, even the network that covers the Knicks games here, it's ESPN Radio here in New York, and they constantly bash them. You know, that's not even that's not even how it's supposed to go. But – yeah, it's just another day in the life of the Knicks, and you just you chalk it up and move on. And lost in the whole shuffle, they were well on their way to winning that game last night and absolutely choked the damn thing away again. They have a propensity to do that at the Garden lately. They just get crushed, or they just get their hearts just absolutely ripped out at the end of games lately. So I don't mind.
Yeah, I know you don't mind. It's. It's hilarious. I don't know how you like really combat that. But it's not something that is it's not something that you see every day. And when I heard that, I was listening to what game was I listening to? I forgot what game I was listening to, but they
must have been a good one.
Yeah, no kidding, right? But they had just been like, there's been a issue at Madison Square Garden, and I'm sitting there going, oh God, what happened? You know, they came through and they were like, well, you know, this is what's happened and this is why it's happened. And, oh yeah, by the way, it's Charles Oakley. And I'm like, son of a bitch. I had to laugh. I had to laugh. Yep. Because that was one thing I didn't expect, was Charles Oakley getting into an altercation with security. He didn't. It wasn't even James Dolan himself. It was freaking security.
Yeah, he's nowhere even in the shot. And apparently he was sitting like near Dolan, and you don't see anything to do with him. So classy fella, as always. All right, so we've only got 5 games on tonight's slate. Probably we go a little long with the rants on these days, but it is time to get into it now. Let us kick off the day here in Orlando, where we got the Philadelphia 76ers at the Magic. 4.5-point favorites are the Magic here at home. -190 on the money line. Total 211.5 in this one. Magic have won both installments of the season series. They did both in Philly, actually, as well. 2-point win and a 17-point win there. Magic are 7-2 against the Sixers in their last 9 meetings, 4-5 against the spread in that span. Sixers on the back end of a back-to-back tonight. They are 3-9 this season in that scenario. And we got the Magic at 8-16-1 against the spread this season in home games. They've got some other peripherals that aren't that great either in that scenario for them. Look, not a huge spread for the Magic. So even though the Sixers are on the back end of a back-to-back, shouldn't be too bad here.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. Here's the issue is – I mean, we got to sit here and look at it, and I don't know if I have a lot of issue or interest in this game. I mean, I realize that it's one of those things that you can kind of, you know, I'm not touching Okafor. I'm not touching. You know, I mean, maybe Ersan Ilyasova. You know, Serge Ibaka actually struggles against stretch fours. He's a good paint defender. Maybe some Evan Fournier, who still seems underpriced at 5,400. Robert Covington.
Continues.
Maybe I have a little bit more interest in this game than I thought. You know, this would make it interesting. There's every single game except for one makes an interesting game stack. But the issue is that, I mean, like, I can make a lineup and I'm finding it very, very hard to not just be, you know, as strictly, like, simple as possible. Like, I mean, it's very, very difficult for me to really get past, you know, to get past some of this stuff. I mean, on FanDuel, I've already made a lineup on DraftKings doing the same thing, but on FanDuel, you know, how do you not play Harden and Westbrook in the same lineup and then four Cavs and just load up?
Bruh. Well, you know, I didn't mention any of the injuries at the beginning. I always forget something on the first game that we talk about. But so for the Sixers, Embiid's going to be out. He didn't travel with the team, still with the knee injury. Rashawn Holmes is going to be questionable. He missed yesterday's game with the illness. So that could, you know, open up some things there for whether Okafor, Noel, Ilyasova, all of them in the mix. And then the Magic, they look a lot more grim. Aaron Gordon, Jody Meeks, CJ Wilcox, all out for this game. And then Jeff Green's questionable. He missed Tuesday's game. I believe his wife had a kid, so I have no idea if he's going to be back. You know, that could certainly open some things up on the Magic end, but I don't know. I mean, I think there's some very good spots to go here, especially Nikola Vucevic. You know, he's finally getting back on the good foot. You know, going to be a great matchup for him to go there. And then, you know, if Aaron Gordon and Jeff Green are out, that should maybe open up some time for Hezonja. Maybe Fournier goes to the three a little more. You know, gives more time to Payton, I guess. Who else would be there? Augustine. So, I mean, there's some decent things to look at here.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if Jeff Green is going to be back because he is probable or questionable. He's on paternity leave. His wife had a baby. Congratulations to him. So we have a baby narrative going on if we want to take that. Other than that, it's kind of hard. Excuse me. It's kind of hard not to just, you know, anything that's not Harden and Westbrook and four Cavs and then fill in the blanks is going to be contrarian today. So, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, one of the either Harden or Westbrook doesn't, you know, shine. There's always what I would say a 20 to 25% chance that neither one of them hit 50. And if that's the case, then you just going a little bit different in certain aspects or scenarios, or if you just build a regular normal lineup and just forget about all the Cavs ownership and value, then you're going to be a little bit different. And, you know, I can see it in tournaments like the SHOT, qualifiers, stuff like that. I can definitely see that being, you know, a viable strategy. But for me, I'm going to have to force myself to do it.
Nick Stauskas went to the bench last game or yesterday. Yeah, they put Gerald Henderson in the starting lineup. I got a little more for defensive purposes. But Stauskas was amazing last night, and we've talked about this at great length. You know, just because a guy's going to the bench, you know, doesn't mean that he's dead. Obviously did not see that kind of performance come from Stauskas, but you can see that, you know, his usage rate just went absolutely through the roof last night. He played 32 minutes, had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Those are both totals that are not anywhere near where Stauskas usually plays. But again, if he's going to be with that second unit, you know, he's certainly an interesting option there, 3,600 on FanDuel. Probably going to be a lot. I mean, last night I saw somebody near the top had him, and he was like 0.7 owned in the SHOT, as he damn well should have been. But again, 5-game slate with him doing that last night, you could probably expect a lot more ownership.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, he's a good option. He gets that usage, and he can definitely pay it off, and it doesn't take a lot for him to do it, as long as he's got his stroke down, he's good to go. So that's definitely viable, in my opinion.
All right. Let's get to the next one here. This is going to be one of the favorites of the night. Houston -3.5-point favorites against the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte at the Hive. -170 on the money line. 223.5 is our total in this game. Rockets won the only meeting this season. 7-point win in Houston. Rockets 4-1, 2-3 against the spread against the Hornets in their last 5 meetings. Couple of interesting things here. 18-7 against the spread are the Rockets this season against teams with a losing record. Hornets 3-13 against the spread this season when the total is 210 or more. A couple of injury news notes here. Nothing from the Rockets side of things, but Cody Zeller will play and he will start tonight. No word on if there's any restrictions with him or anything like that. He had missed the last 7 games and with the quadriceps soreness, and good to see him back tonight. And I guess we should start with the Hornets side of things. Let's start even with Cody Zeller. The Rockets are giving up the most points per game inside the paint this season. My favorite stat on the board, but I had down here Kaminsky and Marvin Williams would be able to take advantage of this, but add Zeller to the list now.
Yeah, you can add Zeller to that list and take Kaminsky off of that list. With Zeller back now, it does throw a wrinkle into it. I don't foresee any restrictions. They've held him out long enough. I don't see them bringing him back unless he's a full good go, which means that he's a viable option and he's going to be extremely low owned. I will have a share or two of Cody Zeller tonight. And I don't have any problems with it at all. I might have Marvin Williams. I might not. It just kind of depends on the way I want to look. But it's not like he's been the Marvin Williams of old. Yeah, he's had a game or two where he's done pretty well. But, you know, he's not one that is for the faint of heart, mind you. He can come out and he can put up a 38. And he can come out and he can put up a 16. And if I were to tell you that the opponents were Brooklyn and Utah, you would probably get them wrong. he put up the 16 against Brooklyn and the 38 against Utah. So, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, just in different matchups, he just goes with the flow, I guess. I don't mind having some tournament exposure to him. I'm not trusting him in cash games, not with Cody Zeller back, though.
All right. What are we doing here with Kemba Walker, Nicholas Batum?
I'm off of Kemba, and I'm on Batum. Kemba has not shot the ball well lately, like at all. He is struggling, and it's not something that we know. He's a streaky shooter, but man, this is beyond something that I can even remember seeing from Kemba. Over the last couple years. Let's see here. Let me get the exact stats. He is... his last game, he went 4 for 20. Game before that, 6 for 17. Game before that, 1 for 5. So that's 11 for his last. Let's see. That's 25, 35, 40. 11 for his last 42. So that would be a grand total of 26% from the field.
Yay. Kemba, go away.
And Patrick Beverley is not going to help that situation at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Patrick Beverley on Kemba and Harden on Batum is
no, I think Ariza's excited? On Batum.
Who the hell is Harden going to be on? MKG?
Does it matter?
I'd like to pick on whoever Harden. Of course it matters. Yes.
In theory, yeah, it does matter, but I mean, the teams play 5-on-4 when they have the ball against the Rockets. Although I will say that Harden's defense has been better this year than it has been in years past. But I mean, it's sure. I think the way that I would handle it is if Kemba is coming down the floor, I'm going to do everything in my power to get them to switch Beverly off of me so then I can attack. I don't know if Kemba's just settling for jumpers or if he's just not finishing or what, but something's off in his game. And so that would be the way I would attack it. The default is that, you know, I think that Harden is probably going to be a little bit on Batum and a little bit on Kemba, but I would probably default to Batum. That's who I'm playing, and it has nothing to. It honestly has nothing to do with just the matchup, because I'm not afraid to attack Trevor Ariza anymore. So.
I don't know that I ever was, but
well, he was an elite defender at one point.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, we could definitely see Harden on Kemba, and we could see Beverly on Batum, and I think MKG and Ariza will probably, you know, be on each other. But I mean, there's a whole freaking merry-go-round of rotations that can go down with those three. So as long as you nail it, I think it should be fine.
And then you got to add Jeremy Lamb into the mix.
Yeah, he's been pretty damn good lately, especially, I mean, look, against the Nets, it wasn't that hard. You know, watching that game for 48 minutes, he basically just was doing all the he really had no resistance going to the hole. It was kind of embarrassing how easy it was for him, but I mean, 27.4 last game against the Nets in 19 minutes. You know, prior to that, in the three games that he's returned, hasn't
Raymond Sessions is out. He's great. Running the backup point guard.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
And the world has not caught the DFS world has not caught on to that yet. How do I know? He was 6% owned on a 3-game slate on Tuesday.
I believe Roberts got some minutes at point, right?
Well, he did, but it was 13. It wasn't enough to make a difference.
No, I mean Lamb only got 19 minutes last game. I mean, it wasn't a ton, but I mean, hopefully,
no. But they know what he can do there. In 19 minutes at his price is definitely worth, you know, a tournament play, especially at low ownership. Now, I think on a 5-game slate, maybe not today because of the shit show that's happening in OKC tonight, but, you know, on a normal slate, you know, 3 to 5 games, if he does what he did on Tuesday, and then, you know, gets a, say the big three were playing tonight, this is the easy way to do it. Say the big three were playing tonight, his ownership percentage would be a little bit higher just because the value isn't as, you know, glaring and sticking out like it is currently.
Sure. All right. What about these complimentary Rockets? Of course, James Harden is in play. Him and Westbrook are going to be the top plays on the night. But you like Ryan Anderson. He is on the road. That is a good thing for him, actually. But any interest in maybe Capella or Gordon in this one?
Sure. I mean, you could take Capella, Gordon. I don't know how he's been shooting lately. Looking here. Eric Gordon has actually shot the ball pretty well the last two games. 5-for-10 and 8-for-17. If you take out the 4-for-14 against Atlanta, he was 7-for-16 the game before that.
Let me ask you, since you got all his shot attempts up there, right? What did he do last game?
Last game he was 5-for-10 and 4-for-8 from three.
All right, I was gonna say because prior to last game, I know he had three straight games where he took 10 3-point attempts. I'll take that any day of the week. Nothing to really poo-poo at either. But yeah, I mean, look, when they're going down, he's incredibly valuable. So it could be one of these nights. Remember, he's still trying to reacclimate himself within the offense. Prior to last game, the minutes were going up incrementally for him. He only played 30 because the Rockets, you know, they had a stretch of time where they had that game wrapped up, and then it got close, and then it got wrapped up.
The Rockets do what the Rockets do.
Yeah, they go and do that. One of these days, the big upside's coming. Will it be tonight? I don't know. I think there's some pretty damn good value, though, at shooting guard tonight. So,
well, of course you need to go to it.
What's that?
I said, of course you do. Everybody knows there's value everywhere tonight.
That is true. That is true. Capella's interesting. Now, you know what, 5,200. He's got the tits matchup. You know, Zeller going right back up against him's got a good one. He's only at 5,400 as well. So this could be a pretty damn game, to use the center position. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, but we've got a couple other centers that are going to be up there as well, and I think they're going to play more minutes than Clint Capella. As far as a point per minute type of, you know, output, Clint Capella can actually outperform them. The problem is he's just not going to play the amount of minutes that these other guys are. So, on a night where, you know, roster construction is not going to be an issue, it's just going to be which way do you decide to go. It's going to be one of those great things where you sit there and you try to figure out exactly what's more advantageous way for you to attack. And I just can't see going to Clint Capella. I don't think he's a bad play. Don't get me wrong. But when I can go get Steven Adams, who's going to play, you know, 35 minutes, because make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, Oklahoma City is not going to blow out the Cavaliers tonight.
Hey, we're not there yet.
So I'm just saying. But, you've got Steven Adams, who's going to play 35-plus minutes. You got Mason Plumlee, who's going to play a ton of minutes. Al Horford, who, after the shit show last night that they put on, Rudy Gobert. If you had to choose one center from this game, Zeller or Capella, who are you going with?
I would have to go Capella, just given the fact that he's not coming off not playing 7-8 games, whatever it was. So, I think, yeah, I'd probably go that way.
See, I look at Clint Capella as the same as I look at Tristan Thompson in this and Cody Zeller. I mean, those three are. Yeah,
I'm sure Clint Capella does not appreciate that.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying I would rather have Vooch, Gobert, Horford, Plumlee, and Adams before Clint Capella.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's probably five. Wait, one, two, three, four, six. He would be six on the list. And it's nothing against him. It's just, you know, kind of the slate that is before us. So that's my whole thing. I mean, I like I said, I don't think he's a bad play, just like Cody Zeller's not a bad play. I want to pile up the minutes today because I think that it's going to be utterly important to be able to do so.
Okay. All right. Next one. Cavaliers at the OKC Thunder. I don't have a line on this one yet, but that's all right.
10.
Oh, you do? All right. What is it? 10?
Yep.
Jeez, I did not see that.
And
all right.
The total is 207.
Total?
207.
With
all right,
Oklahoma
then.
City a minus 585 on the money line.
Nice, nice. All right. Cavaliers won the only meeting this season. 16-point win in Cleveland. Cavs 4-1 straight up and against the spread against the Thunder in their last five meetings. Four of the last five Cavaliers-Thunders games have gone under the total. Now, a lot of this here for the Cavaliers has to do with the fact that they haven't been playing most of their guys on the back end of back-to-backs. But hey, it still applies. They are 3-6 this season on the back end of back-to-backs, 4-13 against the spread over the last two seasons in back end of back-to-back games on the road, 7-15-2 against the spread this season on the road. We got OKC's numbers here, pretty good. 15-9-1 against the spread this season at home, and then 20-11 against the spread this season as a favorite. All right, injury news for both sides. Iman Shumpert, he's out. Missed yesterday's game with the ankle injury. He's just supposed to miss up to today, and then I guess he'll get reevaluated. Could be back in. Enes Kanter out indefinitely for OKC with the broken forearm. And then there's a bunch of three assholes that aren't going to play tonight. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love are all supposed to miss tonight's game. Cavs head coach Tron Lou said after last night's game that there was a good chance that they're going to all sit out tonight. So, you know, we talked about it at the beginning. Probably going to happen. Everybody thinks it's going to happen. So let's just talk about it.
I want to know if they traveled with the team. Because here's the thing.
They could be too cool for school.
You know, we talk about this all the time, you know, kind of expect the unexpected and blah, 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 blah. But here's the thing. If they traveled with the team, then that tells me that they're not too sure if they want to sit them out or not. But if they didn't, and they just stayed in Cleveland, because they've got a home game coming up after this, so it's not like they had to travel. If they stayed in Cleveland, then, you know, but I can't find that anywhere. So I will continue to look and effort. If they're not at shoot-around today, then we know. But there's no telling if they are going to be or not, so...
Yeah, I don't really care whether they travel or not.
If they travel, then because that's going to make the Cavs have only 8 active players, which we know is an NBA team has to have a minimum of 8 active players. And not knowing that makes it very, very odd. Who knows? The Cavs could just say F you to the whole world and just not even go through shoot around. And then all of a sudden we see it during pregame warmups that all three of them are out there and we get all excited and everything.
Yeah,
and we
start putting them in.
And we start putting them in. And then all of a sudden they go, yeah, they're going to be active and dressed, but they're not going to play. And we get that word after lock.
I would shave my chest hair if that happened. I don't expect that to happen.
No.
So basically, you know, in terms of what we're looking at in value here tonight for the Cavs, again, this is where paying attention to preseason basketball actually helped. But I get the most appealing plays here. I get names that you'll know: Channing Frye, Kyle Korver,
nope.
Tristan Thompson.
Nope.
Those should all be guys from the Cavs that, you know, just the everyday basketball fan knows. But, you know, you'll see guys, DeAndre Liggins, Kay Felder, Jordan McRae, my personal favorite. These are guys that are also going to get minutes as well. Don't forget Richard Jefferson, too, for the names that most people should know. He'll be getting minutes as well. So I guess we just got to break those names down. I don't even really care about who's starting.
I don't care. Unless – well, we say that, and then the last time that the Mavs did this to us, we were like, Dorian Finney-Smith, Dwight Powell, and he plays 9 minutes. He plays a minute and a half in the first half, and
that
9 minutes.
Fourth quarter.
Oh, my God, dude. So, yeah. I'm not really worried about it, to be completely honest. Okay, so let's break down this game. Okay.
All right.
First off, the Oklahoma City Thunder will not blow out the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. They just won't. They don't have a, besides Victor Oladipo, Steven Adams,
that Westbrook
and
guy,
and Russell Westbrook. They're all complementary players. There's not a guy that can dominate the floor on the second unit, unless they get hot. Now, I guess you could say a Joffrey LaVerne can get hot. We've seen at times in his career Anthony Morrow go bonkers, but he's not going to get a lot of minutes now that Alex Abrines is back. Mr. Thunder is actually playing some more minutes, but that's just because he has to. We've yet to see, Domantas Sabonis become a thing this season, but he's definitely capable of lighting it up from the outside. I mean, he leads all rookies in 3-point percentage this season. But here's the thing, is Kyle Korver is going to be extremely popular. Why? Because he went berserk last night.
Yep.
So Kyle Korver in tournaments would be a fade for me. Just because, his ownership's going to be higher than anybody else's. Because it's the name that people are most comfortable with. And I never thought I'd say Kyle Korver uncomfortable in the same sentence, but it's the name that he's most comfortable with. You also have guys like Channing Frye, guys like DeAndre Liggins, who's not really a scorer. I guess if I had to choose for my lineup, my initial lineup right now had Kay Felder and Jordan McRae in over everybody else. Like those are the two that I'm really, really going to. After that, it's probably Richard Jefferson, depending on exactly how I want to build my roster. But we can't forget some of these Oklahoma City guys either. Look, if you get 20, 25 out of any of these guys, you're going to be happy. But, can we realistically say that this is going to be, to be completely honest, other than Tristan Thompson and maybe Channing Frye, is there anybody that you can see hitting 30?
I think Jordan McRae is definitely capable of it. I mean, he's going to be getting the shots that he deserves, then yeah, I think he can certainly get there. But yeah, Tristan Thompson, Channing Frye would be the main guys. Now, Kay Felder kind of scares me a little bit. He's a little guy. He is real little. So if he has to get matched up with Russell Westbrook, he's going to get just absolutely abused. The thing with Felder, like, he's got a lot of flash and pop and everything like that, but I've seen plenty of games where he's got the minutes and he just kind of hasn't rose up. Now, he had a great preseason, much different type of basketball than the regular season, but I just think he could be severely mismatched in this one, just from a physical aspect. But I get McRae for me, though. But I have a personal bias. He's just amazing. And the last time I used him was that game against the Bulls, when he got all that usage. So I'm trying to pull up the query right now to see what it looks like with all these guys off the court. And we got Richard Jefferson. Might even take LeBron off. That's stupid. I should probably do that. But yeah, for me, Frye, Tristan Thompson, and McRae.
Okay. I mean, I look, any way you kind of go in this, it's going to be if somebody tells you they know what's going to happen in this game, then you need to have that person buy you a lottery ticket because they're absolutely completely shitting you. I can sit here and blow smoke, and I'm being honest, I can sit here and blow smoke up your ass all day long about how, you know, Kay Felder's better than Jordan McRae, or Channing Frye is a better option than Richard Jefferson, or, you know, whatever. The truth is I don't know. What I do know is I know that Oklahoma City without Enos Kanter is not a team that can put people away. And I don't care what Vegas says. First off, we don't predict blowouts, so we've got that going for us. Second off, I don't care what all these talking heads are going to tell you today. There is no way I see, and I watch every single Thunder game, mostly twice. I watch it as a fan once, and then I go back and I watch it. There's no way I see Oklahoma City absolutely just dominating this game. Somebody's going to get hot for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and somebody's going to have a breakout game. I don't know who, but it's going to happen. And, I mean, without Russell Westbrook on the floor creating something, we don't have an offense. Like, Cameron Payne does not strike fear in the heart of, you know, NBA basketball players. Sorry. I mean, I think the guy can end up being a decent point guard at some point. Right now I look at him as a career backup, and that's no slight on him. It's more than what I am in the NBA. But I'm not impressed. Not with Cameron Payne. I'd rather see Samaje Christian out there. You know, just because, yeah, I just, yeah. But anyways, this just, I don't see the Thunder blowing them out. And if that's the case, then I'm going to have a lot of this game in a lot of different aspects. Now let's talk a little bit about some game theory here. We know that this is going to be the highest on value of the slate, right?
Yep.
Now we have talked about this before, that, you know, without, you know, LeBron or Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving on the floor, that the spacing is far different than when those guys are on the floor. Do you, like, say I'm playing in the $12 WFBC qualifier tonight. Do you take shot and fade it? In one of your, say you're making multiple lineups, do you take shot and fade?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'd say without a doubt.
Or even in the shot tonight, the $4 clutch shot. If you're building multiple lineups, I think that the way to do it is to build like maybe three or four lineups with these guys kind of sprinkled in, not heavily, because everybody's going to go to it. And so maybe if you just get a piece and then go get lower ownership guys somewhere else, because, and then maybe fade it completely all in one and just build a normal lineup with, you know, regular value or with just Russ or just Harden. I mean, there's some interesting options to do that with, so.
Indeed. Yeah, I pulled up the query for everybody out. It's going to be Kay Felder. He gets a ridiculous 40% usage rate. Jordan McRae gets the usage rate at 22.9%. But again, this is all like garbage time, and, you know, these numbers aren't exactly the most true numbers. But again, if it's going to be Kay Felder up against Russell Westbrook, it's not going to be pretty for Felder.
Not when he's playing defense, I agree. But I don't see any reason why he can't have some success on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, is he a better athlete than Russ? Obviously not. But, I mean, it's not like It's not like Russ is going to, and you gotta understand, he's still going to get some matchup with against Cameron Payne as well. And Cameron Payne is definitely not a good defender.
So, you mentioned it before. I don't even think I put anything on it. But with Kyle Korver, I'm sure he's going to be the one that sees the Roberson defense, no?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, so that could certainly take a
man off. Unless Richard Jefferson gets hot for some reason. And then they, you know, they can switch it up and put Victor Oladipo on Kyle Korver. But I think it's going to start out like that. Yeah.
All right. Let's move along. We got two more games left here on the docket. Utah Jazz at the Dallas Mavericks. Jazz 2.5-point favorites in this one. -145 on the money line. -193 as our total, by far the lowest of the night. And what do we got here? Jazz have won all three meetings this season against the Mavericks. Mavs are 6-3 against the spread against the Jazz in their last nine meetings. Rodney Hood's going to be out indefinitely for this one. And then for the Dallas Mavericks, you got Deron Williams is doubtful. Andrew Bogut listed as questionable, and JJ Barea is listed out indefinitely. So, the Jazz are on a back-to-back tonight, 7-5 this season in that situation. As I mentioned, these teams have played three times, but the fantasy point totals haven't been that great for the Jazz. Rudy Gobert did have a 62.5 FanDuel point night, and then Gordon Hayward had 41.4. Got to keep in mind, though, that was an overtime game, so that was certainly boosted, and Favors wasn't in that last game, so that's why, you know, Gobert went absolutely bananas.
Didn't he have like Pacers, 8 block shots that game or something like that too?
I gotta go back and check.
I'm looking.
And then, you know, the pace isn't really going to do much for either team. That's why we've got lowest slate, lowest total on the slate. Both teams run the second and slowest paces in the NBA this season. Boy, there's just a whole lot of deep breaths going on with this matchup. But in all fairness, as you were just alluding to before, about maybe fading that the Cleveland Cavaliers value and everything, you know, there's some decent spots we can go to here.
Oh no, he didn't have he didn't have 8 block shots. He had 2 blocks.
But I believe it was, what, 20?
27 points and 25 rebounds.
Yeah.
About that.
I'm trying to remember if Mejri played that game. But overtime.
He played 11 minutes.
Okay, yeah. And Bogut, I don't think, was in either. But, yeah, no. Look, it's... Like, you're definitely going to get low ownership in this game, without a doubt. I would be utterly surprised if anybody from this game – yeah, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to be utterly shocked if anybody from this game has double-digit ownership percentage.
Yeah, I mean, I can get on board with that. I mean, Rudy Gobert played 42 minutes that game. You know, Gordon Hayward, Joe Ingles even had a good game, although he needed damn near 38 minutes to get there. Derek Favors actually did play this game. He played 26 minutes. Now he didn't do shit. finished with four rebounds and 5 points.
Hogging all the stats.
But yeah, I mean, like, this isn't a sexy matchup at all. But there are some things that have changed a little bit. Obviously, we've got Yogi Ferrell. Who is now in the mix at the point guard. He's actually dropped in price a little bit, which is good, but he's still playing minutes.
A lot of it, right?
Down to 5,700 now. It's only about $300. Okay. But he's still playing.
I guess DK is the one where he went down a whole bunch.
Somebody
in the Slack say that he was at like 5,000.
Yep, he dropped down to 5,000. So, but now you got to understand this. Like, DK does dynamic pricing, and they usually drop guys against the Utah Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies. So this is just because of this. It has nothing to do with, you know, Yogi struggling the last two games. It has everything to do with the matchup today. So knowing that, then I've got obviously it, I don't consider it chasing, but I do have some interest in Rudy Gobert because of the fact that he's going to be low owned. I don't mind taking big men in slower paced games. You know, he's obviously, you know, you can pretty much book, you know, 10-5 and with two blocks. I know that doesn't get you to value at his price, but I mean, 8,000, we need, what is it, 45 out of him? Yeah, we need 44, 45 out of him. I think that's definitely possible. But it's a tournament, pivot only. Other than that, I mean, Derek Favors maybe at 5,300. I can't pay for Harrison Barnes at 6,400 with Dirk back. Maybe a Wesley Matthews or a Seth Curry. Probably not, but maybe. I mean, there's not a lot to like, and it, a lot of it has to do with how slow the teams are. So it's just kind of one of those things. I mean, if definitely if you just kind of, you know, X this game off of your radar today, a lot of people are going to do it, and I wouldn't fault you for it.
Look, Gordon Hayward, I can get on board with, but again, you're going to have good value there. Wesley Matthews, Seth Curry, I don't mind. Then yeah, Gobert. That's it. There's really nothing to get excited about. How do you feel about Dirk tonight?
You know, I was thinking about that, and one of the reasons is because, you know, we've seen power forwards kind of have some success against the Utah Jazz over the last couple games or so, last week or so. And I feel it's chasing almost just because I don't see Dirk as that fantastic play that he once was. You know, he can go out there and he's going to play his 25 minutes, 28 minutes, but he could go out there and absolutely lay the bed and
lay the bed.
Yeah, instead of shit the bed.
I didn't do a double take. I said, what?
He could go out there and just throw up an egg and it could make it very, very, very. It could kill you. So,
yeah, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, Utah did play last night. So, I mean, maybe there's a chance he could catch some of his guys being lazy. You know, it's tough to go against Utah on any given night. But, you know, back in a back-to-back.
I think if I'm going anywhere, it'd probably be in the guard position. Let's see. I think that would be the only place I would really go.
I can't. I almost collapsed when I saw that Dallas is number one against point guards in the DVP.
No kidding.
Like I don't understand how that.
Part
is,
of it is because they play so slow. Yeah. I mean, Rick Carlisle literally. Like, it's funny because I talk about the Oklahoma City radio guy Matt Pinto all the time. Rick Carlisle literally. Whenever like a team will get into a groove and get going, like if they go on like a 7-0 run, he's boop, timeout. He's stopping that shit real quick. And they use the shot clock. They have become the Memphis Grizzlies. And they're having success with it. They're not going to blow everybody out of the water. You know, they're not playing, you know, crisp, clean basketball every night, but they are, you know, competing. you know, most of the time. And given the shape of that roster and what they have to work with, I mean, it's viable. They're making a push for that 8 seed. And that's something that I didn't – that's something that we couldn't say that they were going to do at the beginning of the season, the way that they were – the way that they were going. They're 3 games out of the 8 spot. So, I mean, whatever they're doing, it's working. So
keep on keeping on. All right, let's gracefully glide out of that shit show and move on to the late night hammer tonight. Pretty good one out west. We're gonna have the Boston Celtics at the Portland Trailblazers. Trailblazers 2-point favorites in this one, -130 on the money line, 219.5. One of our highest totals of the night, not the highest, second highest. A couple interesting trends working out here for the Celtics. Granted, the Blazers won the only meeting this season. They won that at TD Garden in Boston by 4 points in overtime. Blazers are 3-2 against the spread against the Celtics in their last 5 meetings. However, Celtics 8-3 this season on the back end of a back-to-back, 32-15 against the spread over their last 3 seasons on the back end of a back-to-back, 9-3 against the spread this season as an underdog, 15-9-1 against the spread this season on the road. No trends bucking in favor of the Blazers, but only injury news here, Avery Bradley's out. He didn't even travel with the team on the 4-game road trip. He's got the Achilles injury, but I don't know, hopefully he's good to go after the All-Star break. Evan Turner is out and definitely fractured his hand in the last game. Huge blow for the Blazers, but it'll open up some more minutes for a couple different players. Where are we beginning here, Keith?
I love the Boston Celtics tonight. Like, after the crap fest.
Did it have anything to do with those fun betting trends?
Yeah, it did actually. after last night's shit fest that they put on, you know, they lose to the Sacramento Kings without Boogie. Seriously? You got to think that, you know, Brad Stevens has got them fired up, and this is not a bad team to do it against. It's a lot of fun. This is going to be the late night hammer. I'm going to have a complete game stack of this. Obviously, you know, for the Boston side, you can throw in Marcus Smart. You can throw in Isaiah Thomas. Who did you happen to know when Isaiah Thomas took his first shot in the fourth quarter last night?
No.
He did not shoot the ball for the first 8 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Now, how does the leading scorer in the NBA in the fourth quarter not get a shot attempt off in the first 8 minutes of the fourth quarter?
That I have no idea. That you're going to have to take that up with him, Keith.
So, yeah. So you got that. I think that – and he still had 45 FanDuel points. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to, you can, you know, stack up this game. And I kind of plan on doing it. I mean, there's some value in this game as well. You can go to, I'm not playing any of the bigs except for Al Horford. Jonas Derebko did play last night and he looked like a freaking alien, with the things that he had on his nose. I mean, Kelly Olynyk had a decent night, but nothing that's going to win you a tournament. You know, you can go to Al Horford. You can go to Jay Crowder. You can go to Marcus Smart. You can go to Isaiah Thomas. I mean, I think those are your 4 targets from the Boston Celtics. And I don't think it's even – I mean, maybe if you want to take a shot on Jaylen Brown tonight – Perhaps, but I mean, he's going to play minutes, but he doesn't do anything with those minutes because he doesn't see the ball.
He's had some decent nights. I think if you're going to take the chance on him against the Blazers, isn't a bad spot to do it. I know these guys just played, what, last week or 2 weeks ago? So what did he do against them that night? 3,800, not a bad idea.
He had 18.8. He had 12 points, 4 rebounds.
Oh.
But his ceiling.
No, Jalen?
Yeah.
9.8. You're looking at the game against the Knicks.
No.
Dad,
not, oh, yeah, 9. Yeah. 8. Okay, sorry.
But anyway, for the Blazers on the same – I mean, same price. You got Maurice Harkless there who's going to step into the starting lineup. So he'll be highly owned, but still, 3,800 for what Harkless can bring to the table against a weak Celtics front line. I'm game for that.
I got a sneaky little play for you on the
– Oh, do tell, Keith.
On the Portland side –
Okay.
Allen Crabbe.
Okay. I like it.
He's going to step in, and this is a tournament play only. And he's going to step in. He's going to play some of the combo 2-3 with Evan Turner out. He's going to get a lot of the second team usage. The fact that Evan Turner, who was basically their de facto third point guard, is out now. We're going to be looking at, a lot of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard usage. I'm sitting here right now as we speak, and I'm trying to build a game stack with this team. And the fact that Damian Lillard is, they moved Marcus Smart to shooting guard. That's fantastic. The fact that Damian Lillard is 8,500 makes this very, very, very appealing. The problem is that, we've got two bad front courts, and I don't really know who I want to attack it with. Like, I want to attack it, but, I mean, Alfred Camino's not getting – I mean, he got – well, I say that. It'd probably be Alfred Camino, actually. Looks like right now this lineup has three Pacers in it and two Boston Celtics. And I have no Harden and no Westbrook because I like the idea of fading that ping pong and just going at it.
Okay.
So
sounds good to me.
And it has nothing to do with, like, I don't think that Westbrook is in a bad spot, and I don't think Harden's in a bad spot. Eric Gordon's now questionable, by the way, with back spasms, didn't go through shoot around. As I'm sitting here trying to watch to see if the Cavs even had a shoot around this morning. But,
they played 2K.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I mean,
what do you mean?
I'm sitting here, and so I've got five people from this game right now, and I've got 5,500 left over per player. I got a power forward, a small forward, and two shooting guards. I can go get James Harden, but actually I can't. Not with this combination. So I'm looking at, going to a Nicholas Batum, a Victor Oladipo, Andre Robertson or Maurice Harkless, and then a Amir Johnson or a Myers Leonard or Dwight Powell. It's not sexy, but it's going to be so low owned that it doesn't matter how sexy it is. It could rocket up the leaderboard quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because the default roster construction today, especially on FanDuel, is going to be Harden and Westbrook, as many Cavs as you can jam in, and then figure out the last one from there.
Yeah, you know, I kind of really didn't even touch on it when we were talking about that OKC Cleveland game, but I mean, look, your guys' defense is no slouch. You know, I mean, it's not exactly the brightest thing to do, throw all that value in there. And then not only that, you know, all these guys are going to probably cancel each other out. You know, like we talked about it, we won't see that many people have that much, you know, success over 30 points. So why would you stick four of them in there? You know, I kind of ran into that same issue last night with like in the late slate with the Golden State Warriors, where I put all four of them in. And then before the game even tipped off, I was like, oh, shit, I got all four of them in there. That kind of sucks. So, yeah, I would definitely try to break up the monotony with some of that. And definitely – and look, this game is going to be fantastic. I mean, number one, you got Portland, who can't play defense. They're improving, but they still give up a shit ton of points. And then, you know, you got Boston on the back end of a back-to-back. Defense is not going to be a priority for them. It's a great idea to have a lot of exposure to this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you another strategy is, you know, fade Cleveland altogether and stack up on Houston and Charlotte and Philly and Orlando and Boston and Portland. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different game theories.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay. I believe we've touched on mostly everything. Anything before we dip out?
Nope. I think we're good to go.
Good to hear. All right. Colin Cowherd's talking about Charles Oakley, so I feel like I need to hear this.
Oh, my God.
If you haven't joined the DFS Army, make sure you go to dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Going to get you 20% off each month. You get to join me, Keith, the rest of the Army, Kevin, our fearless leader, and there. Hey, guess what, everyone, too? Domination Station has been
mobilized.
Fixed. So now you could do it on your mobile phone. You could do lineups on the go. You don't have to ask anyone if they could post the best lineups from DraftKings and FanDuel. You could just do it yourself on the mobile phone, because we all know the mobile phone goes everywhere we go. And, I've tested it out a couple times here today. It looks gorgeous. Gorgeous, my friends. So definitely check that out. You will have access to that if you are a member with us. Much thanks for listening in to us today. 5 games. So, you know, again, if you're in the Army, we'll let you know. If you don't want to listen to the rant, you don't have to. You could just go to a certain point. But rants make the world go round, my friends.
Rant on. Oh, and did you see the MVP slate on FanDuel?
Was this for tomorrow?
No, for today. Your options at center. Russell Westbrook, James Harden.
Okay. I like it.
So.
And I can't even go with Clint Capella or Mason Plumlee. It has
no,
to be
they're at shooting guard.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Everything is loaded into the Domination Station, though, including that MVP slate. There will be an update a little bit later on. I just did a quick update as we were finishing up. So you should be good to go.
All right. All right, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. I have no idea how many games there are, but I'm sure there's a ton. Something that'll make me bitch and moan. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to even.
Okay. Fair enough.
We'll
be tomorrow, though, to bitch and moan plenty about it.
There's only 9.
Check us out. DFSArmy.com. We gone. Peace.
Peace out.